Welcome to worship on Sunday, the 15th of November. The day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night.
We will not be caught unaware.
Forsake the ways of darkness.
We will live as children of light.
Put on the breastplate of faith and the helmet of salvation.
We will prepare ourselves for the struggles that lie ahead.
Encourage one another and build each other up.
We will work for the kingdom and live as children of light.
Come, let us worship the source of love and light. God of autumn and winter, God of spring and summer, you know the seasons of our lives. Let the season of darkness and doubt pass away, that we may be reborn in your light. Lead us into a season of light and warmth, a season of joy, a season of sober judgment, a season where your children clothe themselves in the breastplate of faith and hope and the helmet of hope and salvation. Help us put aside the ways of darkness and live as children of light. Amen.
My God has
Psalm 123 is one of the shorter psalms in the Old Testament. Some psalms are easier to put into their historical context than others. It's difficult to place Psalm 123 into specific circumstances, but the sentiments of this psalm are clear. The psalmist cries out to God for help, support, and mercy. This is a psalm of lament. Some set the psalm in the days after the exile, when the people of God were smarting under the insults and derision of foreign oppressors. The psalmist cries out for recognition and the return of justice to a land ruled by oppressors. "We have had more than enough of this contempt," they say. The writer compares the life of the people to that of a slave, looking for some sign of favour from a master or mistress. This is a powerful psalm. The psalmist looks for justice, but sees none. There's a sense of resignation and powerlessness, but there's also dependence on a God who will surely listen to the cry of God's people, as in previous times, just as in the days of captivity. In the Christian tradition, we would echo the cry, "Come, Lord, quickly come, have mercy, set us free." Listen to the words of Psalm 123.
"I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have withstood derision. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud."
Let us pray. Often we complain, O God, about what we don't have, instead of making the best of what you have given to us. Release us from the voices that counsel us that we don't have enough. Not enough time, not enough talents, not enough friends, not enough self-confidence. Forgive us when we don't value every precious gift we are given. Reclaim us as your people, that we might truly live as children of light and as servants of love. In Christ's mercy we pray. Amen. Beloved, you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. In Christ we are clothed with mercy and grace. In Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we are robed in faith and love, covered with the hope of salvation. In Christ, salvation is ours.
Most holy, most glorious. blossom and flourish, uncertain and frail. We wither and perish, but you never fail. We worship before you, great Father of light, while angels adore you, all veiling their sight. Our praises we render, O Father, to you, whom only the splendor of light hides from view.
The second reading is from Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11.
Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
There's a clock that sits on the sideboard in the kitchen in the manse. That was a wedding present we received many moons ago. During the past year, I've replaced the battery on several occasions because the clock has stopped. Each time I put a new battery into the clock, the hands have started to move once more, but after 2 or 3 weeks or perhaps a month, the clock stops again. Sometimes it might stop for an hour or more and then start up again. It's a mystery. Anyhow, it's most annoying to have a clock in the house that isn't reliable. Modern life requires accuracy when it comes to getting the right time. This week we have listened to the cry of business people directed at our politicians. Tell us when we can resume business again. Please give us clarity as to when. Also this week we have heard the news that a vaccine for coronavirus will be available soon. We're all wondering when. We're wondering when it will be offered to us. And we're wondering when society will be able to return to what we view as normality. In our reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul addresses the Christian hope of the coming of Christ, sometimes called the parousia. He knows, either from some inquiry on the part of the Thessalonians or from experience elsewhere, that the promise of Christ's parousia always prompts the question of the timing. If Christ is to return, when will that be? And how can people make sure they're ready for him? A reading of the New Testament suggests that some of the first Christians believed that Christ's return was imminent. And in every age since, there have been those who have taught the same. But the New Testament writers teach us that timing is not important. And so the question arises, if Christians have no schedule by which to await and prepare for Christ to return, what are they to do? The New Testament writers here and elsewhere speak of Christian watchfulness and wakefulness. Jesus himself used similar terms. Yet such terms sound strangely out of date for a generation of believers that lives some 2,000 years after Paul's letter and knows that Christ has not yet returned. The watchfulness to which Paul urges Christians is not merely a matter of time. It is more a matter of importance. To watch for the parousia, even 2,000 years after its promise, is to confess that God stands both at the beginning and at the end of human life, and that humankind remains accountable to God for its behaviour. What is important is to live in the present moment, as if Christ's return is imminent. The coming of that day should not catch us by surprise. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. Christians belong to the light, to the day, and should be constantly prepared for the return of Christ. The metaphors that Paul uses speak of a breastplate and a helmet, emphasizing the need for constant readiness. In other words, for the Christian, the answer to the question, when will the day of the Lord come, is always now. The last verse of today's reading is a reminder of the need for support and encouragement to live in the now. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Christ will come again.
Let us pray. In our prayers today, we will especially remember those people whose lives have been damaged by evil. Wherever people grow up without the example and encouragement of loving adults who have respect for themselves and others.
May your saving grace abound.
Wherever people live with a bitterness of spirit which poisons and distresses all those who live around them.
May your saving grace abound.
Wherever some live greedily, without gratitude or generosity, always keeping a ruthless eye on the happiness and possessions of others.
May your saving grace abound.
Wherever people resort to violence, abuse, brutality, terrorism and warfare, spreading immense misery and accelerating hatreds.
May your saving grace abound.
Wherever people suffer disease, handicap, injustices, exploitation or slavery, and have no faith or hope to succour them.
May your saving grace abound.
Wherever communities made up of people with differing views and experiences of the past and hopes for the future are torn by rumours, old resentments and new patterns of discrimination.
May your saving grace abound.
Wherever people sit with the dying, making funeral arrangements or spending sleepless nights grieving and fearing.
May your saving grace abound.
Holy God, you cherish every soul on this planet. Teach us how to better live together, organise communities, end injustice, and eradicate all those evils that defile the sacred divine image that resides in us all. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
While the gathering waters roll, while
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.